So first, I want to say thank you to you as a congregation. Glenn and I are overwhelmed and appreciate all the kind words, gifts, and we just consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to walk with you guys. When we think back over the 20-some years, just the different things that we've experienced as a congregation and the struggles, and how often the words of how do people make it without a church family and without faith. Which brings me to the title. Don't give up. Don't give up. So, to start off the message, I'd like for us to turn to another prophet, even though we're talking from Haggai. We're going to start with Isaiah chapter 43. And I think this sets up the message this morning. And so if you wouldn't mind just turning to Isaiah chapter 43. What we have here is Isaiah prophesied, warning the Israelites that Babylon was going to come and take them into captivity. And then what we have here is now they're in captivity, and now he's speaking from what will be. So, Isaiah 43, chapter 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send any army against Babylon. No, for your sake, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they're so proud of. I am the Lord your God, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, I give you thanks for this opportunity that we have to worship you. I pray that we do not take it lightly and realize that where two or three are gathered, your presence is there. And so, Lord, as we proceed to talk about building your church and not to give up, Lord, I pray that as we proceed and look to this and realize how we can get distracted and focused on other things, may we allow your words to pierce our hearts, penetrate our minds, continue to transform us. But the words that would come from me would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor. Lord, that as we gather here and worship, that we acknowledge that there are times when we do feel like giving up, wrestling with what is the point. But Lord, may we be refreshed this morning as we look to your word and your promises, that we would look at it in a new way. Lord, as we look at these pews that are empty here up front, we think of our youth group who are on their way back. I pray for your hand of protection upon them as they travel. We thank you for their willingness to serve, and we pray a blessing upon Camp Deer Park as they minister in New York. And so, Lord, as we surrender the rest of this time to you, may we be open to what your word says. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week we talked about the beginning of Haggai, where he challenged the Israelites, right? And he says to them, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? What has happened here is that this remnant was sent back to build the temple. And when they got there, they looked and they built the altar. And they said, well, we need to worry about ourselves. We got to make sure we have homes. And so they started building homes. And then after they built their homes, they started, before they realized, 15 years passed, and they were constantly just worrying about their own comfort, worrying about what they wanted. And there were stresses around because people were telling them, you shouldn't be doing that. And then they said, well, you know, besides, it's not time to build it. And we built the altar. And so God had sent Haggai to challenge them and told them, consider your ways. Look what has happened to you. What had happened to them? Here they were pursuing and trying to do things their own way, and yet their harvest, they would plant much but harvest little. They would try to satisfy their desires and come up empty. They weren't able to accomplish much. God reminded them that He was the one that provided for them. He's the one that gives them life. And so then we see that they were stirred by the Spirit, and that we see this beautiful promise at the end where it says, the Lord's messenger gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. And so they started building the temple. They realized what they were supposed to do, and so they got busy. But then we have the second message, and this comes in October. Does anyone remember this house, this temple, in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. You see, what happened is they got busy and started working. And you know how it is when you're really excited about something, you start into it. And then all of a sudden, as you're working at it, you look at it. And some of those that were older looked at it for a moment and looked at the foundation and looked at their efforts and realized, there's no way we're going to be able to build a temple that will look like Solomon's. All we have is some stones and some wood. This is not even going to come close. And so they stopped because of shattered expectations. What they were envisioning and thought they would start, they looked and saw that there was no way they were going to be able to accomplish it. So what's the point? It's never going to look like it was. I mean, when Solomon's temple, gold upon gold, magnificent, huge. This was the centerpiece of God's presence, and we will never be able to come close. So what's the point? What about us today? We're called to build God's church. And it seems like all of our work and efforts, and where is it? What's happening? Because we're shocked when somebody actually comes to know the Lord and is baptized. I'm not talking about our children. We see that kind of revelation. We're shocked when people come in the doors. We're shocked when the community responds to this beautiful message. We think back to the New Testament church, and we see those stories, and we're thinking, that doesn't happen today. Or about the old revival, and we start thinking about, oh, the way it used to be, and what we find ourselves is focusing on shattered expectations because church isn't what it used to be. Oh, we don't sing like we used to. Oh, we don't do things like we used to. Or maybe you find yourself, you're ministering to somebody, and this is what happened to me this week. And I wanted to just give up. You see, I'd been working with this young man, praying with him, and actually, I saw in a moment where there was a change coming, and I even mentioned to him, I said, man, I just want you to know, I'm seeing a change. And then he turned around and did something very inappropriate a week later. And I'll share what the Lord laid on my heart, and you can tell me later if you feel it's right. But as I prayed, I'm like, God, I'm done. What's the point? And the first thing that hit me was, it's not about you, David. I think we project our faith when we walk with people and talk with them and challenge them that somehow this reflects us. No. Because you see, the second thing that was pressed upon my heart, I called you to plant a seed of faith. And you did see that plant break through. But it's not time for harvest. And you're not going to see it. Too many times what we give up, we want to give up because it's not meeting our expectation. Our expectations are shattered. Because we're focusing on the wrong thing. We're focusing on things the way they used to be. We're focusing on how we perceive it should be. And Haggai then comes and says this statement, but listen, your expectations are shattered, but I want you to understand the purpose of the temple was the presence of God. Too many times we get focused on all these other things, and what we're missing is what God is saying to us is, I want you to understand my presence in your life. We get caught up in worshiping religion. We get worshiping all these other things. And what he's saying, no, all those things should lead you to a personal relationship with me. The presence of me in your life. And so Haggai says, be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's army. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So don't be afraid. Well, wait a minute. I just read in Isaiah, and it says that, remember when I did those things? Yeah, forget it. Forget it. Because I'm doing something new. And now all of a sudden he's saying, now, remember when I did that? Why is that? It's because we're focusing on the wrong thing. Whatever we focus on, if it takes us away from seeing who God is, we get caught up and focus on the moments and events. Or even the building. And he's saying, remember who I am. Remember, my presence is what is the important part. So, the first point I want to bring out is, be strong, do not be afraid. And that brings me to one of my favorite Bible stories, right? Joshua. I mean, isn't this a great story? He's like, okay, Moses passed away. I'm now to lead us into the promised land. So God, how do you want me to attack Jericho? And he gets this, be strong and courageous, right? This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And here's the battle plan. Now I want you to go and day one just walk around Jericho. And for those that have watched VeggieTales, just for the record, they did not dump slushies on them. All right. I love the VeggieTale one, but they do not dump slushies on them. Day two, day three, just one time around. When they get to the seventh day, you're going to walk around it seven times and then shout. Now, if you're a military-minded, how do you feel about this plan? This has got to be the most craziest military plan in the history of mankind, and probably even since. Could you imagine? Okay, this is what I want you to do. Just circle your... Yeah, I don't have that much faith. So why would Joshua? Because we see that when God talked to him, he told him to be strong and courageous because there's three distinct things. One, because of my promises. Too many times I think what we do is our faith is in faith. Our faith should be in God. When we read these promises, do you have faith that God is who he says he is? The next thing that Joshua is to do is to study and meditate upon the word. James 1:22 says this, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. In other words, when we read God's word, when we study it, we then need to move forward on what we have been challenged, what we are stirred in our hearts. I have a question for you. I have a way that you can measure the effectiveness of your devotional time, your study time. Does it affect your behavior and attitude? When you sit down and read the Bible, when you study it, are you allowing it to impact the way you look at life? Are you allowing it to impact the way you move forward? Because that brings us to the third thing. Joshua was to be obedient to what God's word. You know, if we're called to build the church, we also have a scripture that we're told to do. And I think sometimes what it is, and if you want to be disheartened really quick, Google this, the Great Commission, and find all the ways that people try to say, but it didn't really apply to us. I think it's one of the most familiar passages that we have, and yet it's one that is so often ignored
We come up with our reasons. But look what it actually says. I have been given all authority. This is Jesus speaking. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Go. We need to stop listening and watching the news, because what happens is we read this and we think, okay, but have you seen the news, Lord? Do you realize what's coming up? And we start coming up with these things, and we find ourselves like the remnant that had been sent to build the temple because they were being pressured. And God is saying, I am with you. Go. And this is significant, because I want you to understand, when we get back to this challenge that Hagar gives, and he says, be strong and don't be afraid. Why? Because the Lord of Heaven's army is saying this. The Lord of Heaven's army. And I think that when we think about this, we kind of look at a big, huge thing. The Lord of Heaven's army. But I want to be clear. God cares about the small things in our lives. I want us to think about this for a minute, because what we do is we get caught up in looking at these huge moments in life, when actually also in this, about talking about the Lord's heavenly army, he cares about the small things that are happening in your life. Because this is my ultimate favorite Bible story growing up. The floating axe head. Yeah, what happens here is Elisha is teaching, and the school is just growing and growing. And so they finally said, you know what, we need to build something. Let's go down to the Jordan River, and there's so many trees down there. Let's go down, cut those trees, and build a new place to meet. He says, let's do it. That sounds good. Let's go. And they said, well, you're coming with us, right? Yeah, I'm coming. Let's go. And so they went, and so everybody's just chopping away at the trees. And then all of a sudden, one guy just, when he hits and he comes back, the axe head comes off, flies in right into the middle of the Jordan River, and he goes, oh no! That was borrowed! You ever felt like that? I mean, this is small. It's an axe head! And guess what? God cares. Because Elisha says, where did it go in? To the river. And he points it out, and he throws a stick in there. Now, here's the question. Why did he throw a stick? I don't know, but why did Jesus spit in the mud and then put it on the man's eyes? Why did he speak the other time, and why is the other time he touched? This is God. And I think we got to step back and quit focusing and getting distracted on our shattered expectations of it has to be this way, and say, he's moving. Because that axe head floated, and he took it. I want to be clear, brothers and sisters. When we're talking about this, it's not just the grand moments. It's also the small moments in our lives that God cares about. For those who trust in him. And the reason I say this is important, because this story happens in 2 Kings. And right before it is Naaman is healed, right? The soldier, the commander, who is told to go because he has leprosy, to dip himself seven times. He's like, I got cleaner rivers back home. But that whole story is about obedience, right? But then we have this, right? So turn with me to 2 Kings, because this is right after the axe head floats. So this is so neatly put in there, and it tells us that God cares about these little things. Because look at this next powerful moment that happens. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. Now, backstory here a little bit. The king, who is trying to go against Israel, keeps telling his advisors and his generals, look, this is what we're going to do. And then Elisha would run and tell the king of Israel, and then they were already there, and he was, it just ruined everything. Finally, the king said to his men, who of you is the traitor? Who is giving out this information? Because every time we go to attack, they know. Who's telling them? And they said, it's not us, it's Elisha. And he says, then go find out where he lives. So they did. Now, pick up with verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what are we going to do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" Can you imagine? He had his cup of coffee. I mean, obviously they had to have coffee, right? It is the official drink of Mercyburg Mennonite Church. Did I hear an amen? Yeah. A couple people hold their cups. You know, he had his coffee, right? He walks out, just kind of straight, and all of a sudden it's like, could you imagine? He's just like, I mean, it's one of those mornings that it was not expecting. And this army surrounds him. And look what Elisha says next. Verse 16, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." And you got that? "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than theirs." Can you imagine the servant's like, wait a minute, okay, there's more on our side than theirs. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm already at 100 and there's 2. Where'd you go to school? Right? 2 to over. And look what he says in verse 17. "Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire." Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, here's this army, and they're oblivious, and they're like, we're getting ready to take Elisha. And now this servant who was struck with fear now all of a sudden looks, and he's like, his eyes are open to what's actually around. As the Aramean army advanced towards them, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And then he led them to the city of Samaria. Well, this is a great story. It's Old Testament. What about us today? What about the Lord's heavenly army? Apostle Paul, in his great letter to the Ephesians church, has some great, powerful prayers in it. But as he brings this letter to conclusion, he tells them this, a final word, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And then he goes on and talks about the full armor of God, right? Be strong in the Lord. I think what we tend to do as believers is we are strong in the Lord and we're going to work in our mighty power and things don't work. And we realize real quick, this is not going to match what it should be. And the problem is because we are called to be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. That's the difference. In his mighty power. And I pray that our eyes are open, just like Apostle Paul asked for the Ephesians church eyes to be open in verse 12. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Brothers and sisters, this is what we're called to. To place our faith, to be strong in the Lord's mighty, because we can't see what exactly is going on. There is a spiritual warfare. We're called to be building the church. But my question is, do we get caught up and focus on our shattered expectations because things did not work out like we wanted? They didn't go the way because, well, this is how it should be, or this is how it was. So let's turn to Haggai as he brings this second message to the remnant. His second message, this is how he closes it out. Turn with me to Haggai. And yes, it's only two chapters, and it's easy to not find. That's not right. But it's the minor prophet, so turn with me to page 757 as we conclude his message. Why should we not give up? Look what he says in verse 6. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's army. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's army. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's army. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's army, have spoken. You see, when we read this, we can understand then why the Pharisees and all, when Jesus walked into the temple and there was the fulfillment, greater than this temple, they looked at it and said, well, wait, no, there's this shaking that's supposed to happen and all this gold and silver is going to come. Not this. This is, and they didn't even see how great. Brothers and sisters, how many times have I said in this message alone, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous. Not me, but the Word of God in different contexts. Don't give up. And the reason I think we give up is because we focus on shattered expectations. And why is this significant? Because we also see in Hebrews 12, 25, another mentioning of this shaking. Because we understand this shaking is judgment. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from the mountain, from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we have received a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. Or consuming fire in other translations. Brothers and sisters, we're called to build the church. And what that requires is for us to encourage each other, strengthen, love, walk with each other, and to go into the world and share this beautiful good news of Jesus Christ. But not just share it, but then also we baptize and teach and we build the church. Don't give up. Don't get caught focusing on shattered expectations of that this isn't the way it used to be. Don't get caught up on shattered expectations because look how dark the world is. Be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid. As we bring this to conclusion, my simple question is this. Does the evidence of your life reveal the presence of God or your focus on shattered expectations? Because people hear what you say. They notice what you dwell on. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that we have to worship you here together as a body of brothers and sisters. Lord, the church is not the building. If this structure wasn't here, we would gather somewhere and worship you. But Lord, I pray that just even that thought, for some of us, we would almost focus on the shattered expectation of, but it's not the church that we used to meet in. And we end up focusing on the wrong things. I pray that as we leave here today, and as we go about our week, that our lives would reflect a worship of you, a presence, your presence in our lives. That we are no longer focused on the shattered expectations, no longer focused on the things that aren't working like we expect them to be, but that we are now placing our faith in you and allowing you to align our eyes, our thoughts, our attitude, our will, that it will be yours, that we die to ourselves. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here within the sound of my voice, that the Spirit is stirring in their heart that they have never made that profession of faith. They have never proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is stirring their heart right now. I pray that they would say yes and come talk to me or someone and give us the opportunity to walk with them in this newness of being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and being a new creation and experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray for us as we move forward, Lord, that our eyes would be fixed on your Son, and that we'd be about your kingdom, and that our desire would be to build this church, your church, starting here at Mercersburg, but not just limited here. That when you place something on our hearts, we go. May we be faithful. May we, our lives, echo the truth of being strong and not afraid. For you are with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go and love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.